Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Weird week, huh? Labor Day on Monday. Most of us had the day off, and now here we are on a Friday, and does it feel like a Friday? I don't know. So my news guy took the day off. He took today and Monday off. So for him, yesterday was Friday, even though he didn't have a Monday. He had a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday week. And yeah, it's just a weird week. But welcome, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on Open Line Friday. If you want to call, you are certainly welcome to call at 673-5890 and discuss whatever it is on your mind. 673-5890. You can text me at 467-5842. Both of those are 435 area code. So to call 673-5890, to text 467-5842. Mello is with me today. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
You're a bum. Now, I only say that because on your shirt it says Basic Utah Mom and yes. the acronym. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Is BUM.
I've never heard that before, but you're absolutely correct. That is the acronym.
Yeah. So you're not really a bum, but
no. I wish I could be a bum.
I know. And that's actually what we want to talk about to start the show today is bums. Now, I don't mean the kind of bum, the wino on the streets, you know, pushing the cart around and doesn't, you know, sleeps in a cardboard box and stuff. That's a whole separate show we could talk about. But talking about the 18, 19, 20, 21, et cetera, year olds that are living in our basements or our extra bedrooms or whatever. And you, Mello, have an experience. You are contemplating something about children and moving out and stuff. And I got to tell you, having experienced some of this stuff myself, it's tough on a parent.
It's so hard because you want your kids to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I had my 22-year-old moved out, or 21-year-old move out, my older son. But he was actually going to school and working full-time. But it was just time for him to, like, be around other kids and do other things. So he just got an apartment in town. And it was great. He had transportation already. He already had a job. He was enrolled. Everything was great. But then I have another daughter. And she's been kind of back and forth between her dad, who lives in Colorado, and me, just kind of like a hot potato, because she doesn't always make the best choices, and there's usually legal matters involved. It's a whole fun thing. So it's great. So she's been with me for the last 2 years because she left her dad's house. She tried living with her sister. That failed miserably in like a month. So then I took her because that's my daughter, and I'm not going to throw her out on the street.
Don't want her living under a bridge, right?
No. Yeah. And she also has some medication things she needs to, like, be more clear on certain things with some mental health issues. So she's got some of those struggles, too. So finally got her a job after, like, 8 months of living with me. And now we're going on 2 years. So she's maintained her job for, like, the last 10 months. She's been doing pretty well. And it's just kind of time for her to just scoot out of the nest. And she's not getting along very well with everyone in the household. So that makes it hard too, because it's like, I love you, but if you want to say those kinds of things, then you should live in your own house because you don't really have a vote here because you're living here for free.
This is my house, yeah.
Right. And I love her and I want to help her. So we've worked out a plan this week. We've fast forwarded the plan. It was going to be another 3 or 4 months, but it's just time. And I think you just know it's time because it just feels like you really don't want to live with him anymore.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
So we're working on getting her a car. She got her credit back up so she can afford like a $5,000 car. So we've got one in mind and we're going to go check with the bank today and see if we can work that out. Her sister's going to let her stay there for 6 months. She has a basement up north. So she'll stay there and just live in the basement. She's getting her car, and she has to have a couch is the other rule from my other daughter. So as long as she has like her own like little mini apartment in the basement so she's not all the way in her space all the time, they think they can maybe live together again. So I'm crossing my fingers that it works. And then my other daughter is having a baby on the 15th. She's getting induced.
Wow.
So that means I've got to kind of fast forward everything and get her ready to move.
Now, where does she live?
She's in Provo.
Daughter. She's in Provo. Okay.
So Provo and Santa Quinn are the other two daughters, and then this one's going to move to Santa Quinn.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give you, this is not advice. This is just what we did, and it for the most part worked. And some people actually are very critical of my wife and I for having this policy. But we let our kids know from an early age. And the policy was this. At 19 years old, you are no longer a resident of this home. Mm. And everybody's like, yeah, that's a great policy. Unless, like you said, if your kid's going to be homeless, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. But we let our kids know, like, as soon as they were old enough to understand the concept, we let them know, look, at 19 years old, you will either go on a mission or will move to college or just get a job and get your own place. You mm-hmm. are no longer a resident of this home. And it sounds kind of harsh. And there were a couple of times where, you know, the decision was difficult. Mm-hmm. But that was our policy. Now, that's not to say if our kids were struggling financially, if there was something, some big struggle, we would act as a, I don't know, what's the word, a backstop, you know, mm-hmm. The last resort type, last resort hotel, that would be.
Yeah, us. There you go.
But even then, we've let our kids know you are always welcome to come back and live here if you're having some kind of major difficulty, but it will be a temporary situation. It will not be permanent. You will use that time to save money, get yourself back on your feet, and get where you need to go. And interestingly, all of our children have chosen not, we have yet to have any of them come back mm. and live with us.
So, well, that's yeah. You either did something right or they don't want to come back.
There was one other, well, maybe that's it. There was one other thing that was tough, though. I also had, and again, you can go, you're hardcore, unforgiving, mean, rigid dad. But there was a certain level of expectation of keeping the rules in our house. And I told my kids again from when they were old enough to understand, you will do these certain things. You'll be mm-hmm. home by a certain time on a school night. If you're going to be later on a weekend, I need to know where you are. And I raised my kids mostly before cell phones were, you know, a big thing. But one of the more heartbreaking moments really in our parenting lives was we had a talk with one of our sons who was making some poor decisions. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and said, look, if you can't keep the rules of this house, you're going to have to move out. He was 17. And we went out to dinner. And when we came back, he had taken his stuff and he had left us a note and he was gone. Mm. And that was heartbreaking, Mello.
That's hard.
That was. And he didn't even tell us where he was going exactly. We kind of figured he had a friend he could stay at, and he actually had a pretty steady girlfriend at the time. And mm-hmm. so we figured he was one of those two places. But, you know, I mean, there were some tears shed. It was, yeah. it was a tough situation. That kid did, after about a year or so of trouble, come back and live at home for just a little while because he had found another girl and had gotten engaged. Mm-hmm. So as he was engaged, he lived with us for a little while. But that was tough. And being a parent, it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. And then when I was actually getting divorced, mm-hmm. my oldest daughter had turned 18 and she was a little wild and hard to manage. And I was moving from Colorado to Utah to my parents' house temporarily with five other kids as I was getting my life back together. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want her to come with me because I didn't want to try and maintain her at my parents' house. And her dad didn't really want her to stay there. So we kind of encouraged her to join the military. She ended up joining the Navy and she wow. was... I mean, it ended up being a good thing for her,
yeah.
but it was kind of out of necessity. So I, like, looking back, I wish I could have handled that differently instead of kind of pushing her into that. But it ended up kind of working out because now she's a homeowner thanks to the GI Bill and, or the VA loan. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think what maybe the only thing we've learned or we've really confirmed here is being a parent is really hard and sometimes it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend and his kids are little and he's like, oh, can't wait till my kids grow up. Sometimes it's so hard. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea.
So much easier when you can control all those situations around.
Yeah. When your kids grow up, they still do dumb things. They still make stupid decisions. Only the difference is you have no control anymore.
No.
In fact, you can't even really say anything because they will go, oh, you don't like the way I did? All right, I won't bring the grandkids around, or I'm not going to come visit, or I'm, you know, and all of a sudden you, every little bit of leverage and power you had is gone.
Right. The power's turned to the grandkids.
Yeah. So, and that's where we're at right now. I have some young in-law types, and they've never said that, but the implication is there. Mm-hmm. You will accept exactly what I do and what I think, because if you don't, no grandbabies for you.
Oh my gosh, so, yeah. My daughter said, you have to get this shot, and you have to not kiss the baby, and you have to do all these things. And the baby's not even here yet. So I had to go get my Tdap, make sure that was done. I had a lot of little checklists to do to see the baby.
We had to wear a mask, because the oldest of our grandkids were born 2020. Mm. And so we had to wear a mask around our own grandchildren for the first six or whatever months. Mm. And that was like, are you kidding me, right? Like, mm-hmm. First of all, I don't have it. And second of all, this is my grandbaby, and they don't even know what their grandparents look like if we don't change this policy soon.
Oh, that's
soon.
True.
Oh, it was sad, yeah. So, all right, I'm going to read to you. We're talking about young people a little bit. I want to read to you. This is hypothetical. This is not real. But I want to get your real reaction, and I'm going to react to it as well, Mello. This is a little piece written by Paul Rosenberg, Free Man's Perspective. And again, this is in the future, hypothetical, and I have mixed feelings about this. So I'm going to tell you right up front, you will probably have mixed feelings about this too. You'll be like, well, that's good, but that's bad. But, so here goes. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. In 2025, so that hasn't happened yet, after realizing that humanity had been at war for 6,000 years or more with seldom a break of even a single year and very often in several places at once, a simple thought appeared in at least 100 young minds and scattered across our planet. It's not the evil old men who keep all the wars going. It's us, the 18-year-olds. The problem they saw was that they kept obeying the bitter and rapacious old men, swept along by authority and a fear of standing alone. They had been, for millennia, marching off to kill other young people exactly like themselves. The 18-year-olds on the opposite sides of the battle lines had been doing precisely the same thing, obeying the orders of their own bitter and rapacious old men. And then a very simple thought struck them. If the 18-year-olds in every country agreed to not fight, who would? After all, the old men never fought for themselves. And so, being a generation gifted with worldwide communication, they began to find each other and to talk amongst themselves. Some of them dug into military literature to see if they were missing something. Others read studies on the psychology of killing. A few researched guerrilla warfare. And then one by one, they began to study economics, cooperation, and consent. Within months, they had no more doubt. War was almost wholly dependent upon the young people.
Yeah.
So in a matter of days, they wrote an agreement to be published in every country. Their agreement read as follows. And again, this is hypothetical, folks. Don't freak out. But here's the agreement all the 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds came up with. We, young men and women of all nationalities, hereby vow not to kill each other at the behest of old men and old women. We don't want to fight. We do not want to die. We do not want to see our friends dismembered, nor do we want to dismember others or even to assist in it. We want to live and love. Most of us want families. All of us want rewarding lives, and we do not want to live with the nightmares of war. If the old people want war so badly, let them go fight it. They've already had their families and their careers. Bitter old men and women will send us off to war forever if we let them. They've been doing just that continuously for 6,000 years. They're not going to change. The jungle warlord and the militant senator are precisely the same in this. They need war. For 6,000 years, they've issued orders for us, and we, confused and obedient, have marched off in thousands and even millions to kill each other, but no more. We, the 18-year-olds of the world, hereby affirm that we will not go to war. We will fight to protect our homes and towns if necessary, but we will not march off based upon the fears and intimidations of old men and women to fight other 18-year-olds like ourselves. We are confirmed in this resolve by the wise words of Albert Einstein. Nothing will end war unless the people themselves refuse to go to war. We therefore jointly refuse. Let the old men kill each other if they care about that so much. Mm-hmm. All right, Mello, I'm going to give my reaction in a minute. I want to hear yours first on this hypothetical worldwide joint agreement of 18-year-olds to not fight.
You know what? I've heard quotes about this before, and I just looked it up while you were talking about that. And it's true. It's true. The older men that are in power, or the richer men that are in power, are the ones that are leveraging the youth to fight the wars.
But by the same token, without the young people fighting World War II, Nazi Germany would have prevailed.
Right, and it's about defending freedom, right? So there has to be a sense of allegiance to the flag, which I'm afraid is waning in the youth.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
So there is a concern that we won't have the people. I mean, look at what's happening with the younger generation of people. They're not sure if they're men or women right now.
Oh, boy.
Like, they don't even know what they are. How are they going to stand for anything, really?
There is, and this is a little off topic, but there's a restaurant in town, a new restaurant. I'm not going to say their name. I don't want to ruin their business, but noticed, first of all, some vulgarities on the wall and their decorations, but second of all, a very prominent trans or multi-gender bathroom, right, kind of almost in your face, like, hey, here's where all the people who don't know what gender they are or don't care what gender, whatever, can go to the bathroom. And I was just like,
So it didn't have, like, men or women? It didn't have, like, both? Because sometimes they'll have both because they just have one bathroom or they have...
Yeah, they had a men and a women's and then a trans.
Oh, really?
Bathroom in the middle. And so, I don't know. Basically, I was like, yeah, I don't think I can come back here. But that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So, back to the 18-year-old's agreement, to worldwide agreement not to fight. I really, really... came out of that reading that article with mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I was like, yeah, peace, no more wars. That's pretty cool. Immediately, though, I was like, wait a minute. You really think the young Palestinian militants, the Hamas, are going to agree not to fight?
Right.
I don't.
Somebody's going to agree to fight. And that's the problem, why we always have to have some type of military. We need to have a strong military in order to protect the country.
Yeah.
When it's actually utilized by a commander in chief who cares about the country.
Exactly. If I think everyone listening, I think, would agree, if all young people in the whole world would agree not to fight anymore, they'd be okay with that. If they all sign the agreement. The problem is, just what I was saying, there are groups of people that would never agree to that. And so we have to, basically, we would be slaughtered. If we agreed not to fight and they didn't, then we would be slaughtered. It reminds me a little bit, in theology, and, you know, the anti-Nephi Lehis, they called them, the ones that vowed not, never to pick up a weapon again. They actually had to have their children, who fortunately had grown up into young men, fight for them because they said they would never fight again. They would have been slaughtered had they not had their children to protect them. But
they're still fighting, like, technically, right? They're, yeah, they're, you know, it's like a proxy fight, but they're still...
Sort of, yeah.
I don't know. That
sort of, yeah.
That's interesting.
I just, idealistically, you know, honestly, nobody wants war. Nobody wants people to die. And when the Democrats say, oh, you know, Israel needs to, we need to have a peace agreement with Hamas, and no more fighting, no more killing, no more dying in Gaza. No, all that's bad. And then they say, well, Democrats want war. I mean, the Republicans want war. They want people to die. No, we don't. We want peace. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if you lay down your weapons to these people who aren't going to lay theirs down, that's when you have a slaughter. Remember this, and I always tell people that say, hey, why is Israel going after Hamas and the Palestinian militants? There was a ceasefire in Israel. That music festival took place. There was not supposed to be war. There were not supposed to be terrorists. People went to that music festival because it was peace. There was a truce. There was peacetime. Hamas came and attacked those people, killed many, took many more hostages that they're killing now under a ceasefire. So if you want a ceasefire, guess what? There was one. It didn't work.
Right. Everybody has to actually
Both sides have to agree to a ceasefire. And Hamas might say, oh, yeah, okay, we'll stop shooting. They're not going to. They're liars.
Yeah.
If they're willing to kill, of course they're willing to lie.
True. That's a very good point.
I mean, for crying out loud, you know, I would say of the two sins, killing is worse than lying, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they do both. So
frequently. Yeah. Yeah, that's so sad.
It's awful. And so ideologically, this article, yeah, that would be great if all the young people in the whole world would say, I'm not fighting anymore. I mean, you know, if you look at the principle, you go, that's fantastic. Just like the principle of communism, of everyone sharing exactly the same amount of wealth. Mm. Ideologically, it actually is a great idea, but the actual execution of the plan, never
right.
going to work.
Right. There's other people involved that aren't going to follow, right. so it won't work, because right. everybody always wants a little bit more.
There's a town not very far from here called Orderville. And for a while, in the early part of the pioneers, early part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they tried living under, you know, under the
law of consecration.
They tried it. And unfortunately, even in the church, it just didn't work. Because if what happens is people that work hard see the other people not working hard and they go, maybe I don't need to work as hard either because we get the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study done in the classroom. I know you've probably read about this. I read about it online. And basically, the professor went to the first day of class and he said, just so everybody knows, I'm going to give everybody exactly the same grade in this class. Whatever you earn as a class, that's what everyone gets. And so the first test came and a lot of people studied and did really well. And some people didn't study and bombed it. And guess what? They got the exact same score. Next test came around a few weeks later, and not near as many people tried as hard. A few people still studied really hard and got good grades. But a lot of the other people, like, if they're going to get the same grade, then why should I try?
Mm.
And then the next test came around, and fewer people studied. And by the end, nobody studied for any of the tests because it didn't matter what they did. They were all going to get exactly the same grade. And that's exactly what happens with mm-hmm. communism and socialism every time.
That's so interesting. I have not heard that study, actually.
Yeah.
So everybody got the cumulative grade, like the average grade of the class?
Everybody just got a passing grade. They didn't they did not get rewarded for their excellence or for their petulance.
Oh, that's a good word.
Yeah. And so you ended up with, and at the end of the class, a professor said, you guys understand, this was a study on what communism is like. This class, I wanted it to, it was a social studies class, and he said, I wanted you to understand this is how communism works. Everybody tries at the beginning, and then fewer people try, and then fewer people try, and then fewer people try, and in the end, nobody tries.
Wow.
Because I'm the one in control, because I'm the government.
Right, so you're all going to get what I give you.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. I like that. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. More coming on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about what Kamala Harris believes. I don't know that she knows what she believes, but especially if you study some of her statements made when she was running for the Democratic nominee way back in 2020 and didn't get it. Biden won that one. And now she has changed her opinion, or at least she has been told to change her opinion about a lot of things so she can get elected. I believe she's going to change it right back if she does get elected.
Yes.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Oh, hey, I didn't tell you, Mello, but I think we should give away something, don't you? Yes, I got to turn my mic back on. We should give something away, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I'm going to go over here. You talk for a second.
Oh, okay. So you were telling me somebody called and said that there's somebody called Old Scratch that people need to.
Yeah, Old Scratch.
To.
That's a nickname for the devil. You never heard that?
Never heard that.
Hmm.
Old Scratch. I've heard a lot of other words for the devil, but not Scratch. That makes zero sense to me.
I think it's from a book. But the text is from Roy, until Old Scratch is removed from the earth and men humble themselves before the new real leader, Jesus Christ, then we will have real peace.
That will bring peace.
That's a good text. All right, we are going to give away. I have two Dave's single combo meals, two of them right here.
Two Dave's.
And two combo meals at Wendy's. Just give me a call right now. 673-5890. Mello will answer. I'm going to turn your mic down, Mello, while you answer the phone. Caller number 3 for a couple of free combo meals. 673-5890. So 435 area code, 673-5890. A couple of free lunches today. I think you can get the, well, they have those tropical berry smoothie or Frosties now. And yeah, give us a call. And I see already the phone lines are all lit up. So good job, everybody. 937 on KDXU while she's answering the phones. I want to talk a little bit about, this is something that, I don't know, it has bothered me, but it should have bothered me. Should I be happy with the way it is? And here's what it is. So we recently moved into a new neighborhood. Recently, I say, you know, it was 4 or 5 years ago. When we moved in, our daughters were just on the cusp of adulthood. They were just, one was about to graduate high school. The other one was like a sophomore or junior in high school. Since then, obviously, it's been 5 years. They've moved out and one's married. The other one is traveling abroad, going to college, study abroad program. So people in this new neighborhood, this new church congregation and area that we live, know us as Andy and Shelley, the parents of two daughters, and this older couple who is now empty nesters, who we like to play pickleball. That's pretty much what people know about us. And it's a weird thing because I want to tell them, you know, I'm actually the parent of 5 children. I have 3 sons, which they never lived where we are. People don't know that. I have, you know, I was a musician. I was a rock DJ. I love Ford Mustangs. I have all these things about me that I think are more complex than Andy, the old guy who has 2 daughters and now is an empty nester. And then I thought, well, you know what, though? I do it, too. Like, so when we moved into this neighborhood, we got to know a few different people. And it was like, okay, that's so-and-so, the old lady. And her husband has died, and she's a widow, and she's... And then, that's so-and-so. They had, you know, they have a certain number of kids, and they like to go to the lake. They own a boat. And it's just so weird. People don't know us for who we really are anymore when we move around a little bit. And in a way, I envy people who lived their whole lives in the same place. I think that's cool because I think people know you. There are guys who, and by the way, Mello's back, right? Are you back?
Yep, okay. We have our winner, Wes, won.
Wes, way to go, Wes. Come and get those. I've got them right here. I will get them to Mello when we go to commercial break, and she will get them out there ready for you to pick up. But I think it's weird. Like, Mello, I didn't know you when you were 25.
I didn't know me when I was 25.
I didn't know you as the mom of 6 kids. Mm-hmm. I know you now as a lady who's a little bit older than 25, mm-hmm. Who has basically 1 kid that is you're kind of responsible for raising right now. The others are, well, I guess 2. Mm-hmm. But the others are essentially adults.
Mostly grown, yep.
And I know you as a realtor, and I know you as, you know, an up-and-coming radio superstar. Ooh. Yeah. But that's, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is people have led these amazing, complex lives, and we don't even know about it. I was thinking about my dad. My dad is 89, right? He is, you know, he goes swimming 3 times a week. He's, for an 89-year-old, he really does a lot of great stuff. And he gets mad at himself sometimes. I can't remember. You know, he'll try to remember a name and he can't extract it from his brain, even though it's in there somewhere. But people don't know my dad. My dad was a television weatherman. He was a college professor. Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant scientist. Mm-hmm. And people don't know that. They just know the old guy.
That's true. I was sitting next to a lady in church like a couple weeks ago, and we were talking, and she used to teach clogging. Like,
really?
This little old lady. And I was like, I have no idea. I would love to see somebody move like that. It was just, you just don't get to know people until you ask questions about them.
So I have some friends, and we had them over on Labor Day. We smoked, did some pulled ham. It was really good. But I had these friends over. And in the case of one of my friends and his wife, I don't know their kid. I've never met their children. Mm-hmm. They raised a family. They're retired. Well, he's not retired yet, but they're close to retirement age. They're empty nesters. They have kids and I've never met their kids and grandkids. I just know them as this couple that I play pickleball with occasionally, that I'm friends with the guy and actually friends with both of them. And it's just such a weird thing. I'm like, you know, they probably live some pretty cool, rich lives. They have probably some amazing children. I don't know. And then the other guy, his wife came over. And I know one of their kids. I think I might have met a second one of their kids, but they have, you know, this is terrible. I don't even know how many kids they have. Mm. But, you know, and I've been to their house, but I'm like, man, what do you know about them? Well, they like pickleball. I know that.
Right, your common interests.
I know he goes fishing a lot. She was Relief Society president. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad. I'm like, here I am. I want people to know that I'm more complex than Andy, father of two girls, lives in a house in a neighborhood and we play pickleball. Mm-hmm. And yet I am as guilty as anyone of not digging deeper about other people. So I guess I wish that we would try a little bit harder to get to know the real person mm-hmm. that we see on Sundays or that we see, you know, out watering their yard or mowing the lawn or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. We should.
I'm going to try harder to do that.
No, I think that's really good advice for everybody to try and get a little deeper and ask a couple more questions that are more personal. They call them the Ford questions in real estate.
Ford.
Family, occupation, recreation, and dreams.
Really?
So when you're trying to get to know somebody,
I like that.
Yeah, those are the kind of questions that you ask.
We got to put that on the wall here.
Yeah, Ford. Yeah, can you afford to not?
Yeah. You're linking them all together. Them all together.
Oh, there you go.
The Ford Lincoln.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Not all day.
Don't get me started. Me and your dad could, and my dad, for that matter, could pun all day long. We like all those silly puns.
I do love those.
Your dad and I got into, you know, back in Norse, back in Old Norse times, they had something called, I think it's called Flyger. Anyway, they are word battles.
Mm.
And your dad and I at a 4th of July picnic last year got into, it wasn't a word battle, but it was a pun battle.
Pun master.
We would each try to continue having puns. You know, it's easy to get something like corn. You can say, well, I can't hear you or, you know, or stuff like that is easy. Or cows, it's utterly ridiculous. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
In fact, there's a dad joke, cows do better if you talk to them. It's one in one ear, out the udder.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. That's terrible. I'm sorry. I've even lost my train of thought because I think about more puns to say. But
that went really quickly, didn't it?
I think we need to try harder to get to. I mean, there are some incredible, and I've had some of them, retired guys that have been, and women that have been on the air. Who have lived fascinating lives. I remember Tim Martin being on the show, and he was a commander of a nuclear submarine. How cool is that? He was an engineer. But anyway, nuclear submarine. And, you know, I've had other guys that have had all these incredible experiences in their life. I had a lady on who was an F-16 pilot in New York area when 9/11 happened. And she actually was scrambled. She was one of the jets that was scrambled to make sure no more planes hit any more buildings. And her name was Heather, Heather Lucky Penny, they called her.
Oh.
But she told me that, she said, you know, we were scrambled, but we didn't have any weapons in our jets. And so we intercepted the plane that was headed, you know, the one that ended up crashing in a field in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We intercepted that jet, and we were actually flying alongside that jet. And me and the other guy, my commander of my whatever they call it, my unit, my flight commander,
mm-hmm.
said, look, we don't have any weapons, so we're going to have to take this plane down another way. And she said she contemplated for a minute, and then she said, I think I know what you're talking about.
Mm.
And they agreed then and there that they were going to take that plane down by him crashing the cockpit area with his jet and her crashing the cockpit area with her jet, or the tail area with her jet, thus committing, you know, first of all, killing all the people on board,
mm-hmm.
but saving who knows how many others. and killing themselves also.
Jeez.
And
heavy.
they were about to do that when the plane went down itself because the passengers inside said, we're not gonna let you do this.
Right.
So talk about a sobering.
Wow.
But that, you know, later on in life, and she's actually not as old as I am. I would say she's probably in her 40s or 50s now, but later on in life, people are gonna say, oh, there's Heather. She's a retired old lady who, you know, whatever. She had some kids and she's whatever. And nobody's gonna know that story. If they just see her as an old lady. There are so many incredibly rich stories of people who have done some amazing things in this world.
So where are ways that people can share more about the unique things about them? Like Facebook, I guess you could like have an interesting story, but then it's kind of like, oh,
Facebook's
look at me.
Yeah. And Facebook's kind of shallow too. You can't really get real deep into anything. I think we just need to communicate with each other better. Talk with people. If someone's out there watering their lawn, or mowing their lawn, stop and talk with them. My wife is fantastic at this. I am not. I'm going to try to be better, though.
I make so many friends in the grocery store lines.
Do you?
It's so fun. I love to get to know people.
Well, you're a Ford girl. Ford. Tell me what it is. Family?
Family, occupation.
Occupation.
Recreation.
Dreams.
Yep, those are the things you want to talk about.
I'm serious. That's going on the wall here. That's in the studio. We got to put that on the wall. Yeah. All right, I got to get a commercial break in. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Steve is on line one. We'll go right to Steve. What's up, man?
Hey, Andy. Long time ago, you and I used to meet every Sunday morning.
I remember.
A couple of guys named Jay Varr and Mike and Martin.
I do remember. I was the one always late.
Well, that the Andy Griffin that I remember from them only had two little boys. There were no girls on the scene, if I remember.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's the image of you that I have had in my mind for the last 30 years or so. But about 3 years ago, my daughter gave me a birthday gift. It was a thing called Storyworth. And basically, she paid $100 for it. But every week, I got to choose a topic to write about. And I faithfully did that for 52 weeks. And then it was published in a book. And I've got a 460-page book that's about my life that's, you know, that's just, I love it. The only problem is I made 10 copies, gave it to my wife and my kids, and I've only had one that's read it.
Oh, no.
So even though you put it out there, that doesn't mean anybody's going to care enough about it to read it.
Well, and maybe the problem is they will read it after you're dead.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
Yeah.
I never knew Dad was such a jerk, you know.
I do remember, you know, when my grandparents were getting up there in years, we got, you remember the old camcorder thing, right? We got the camcorders out, and I had my grandpa tell some stories of their life and stuff, and those are treasured recordings I have now, but yeah, I don't know if anybody else will ever watch them again. We have them. They're there in a box somewhere, but... Yeah, you're right. That's a problem. But we did used to meet every Sunday morning, early, if I recall.
Quite early, yeah. It was good times.
6 a.m., I think. Yeah, and you had, I think you had a boy that was about 12, maybe, 11, 12, 13. How old is he now?
Oh, my oldest boy, he's in his 40s.
Oh, man, we're getting old. well, Steve,
yeah,
I appreciate you calling in, man.
So that dates you, too. Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good talking to you.
Did get a couple of texts during the commercial break. I like this one. People need to ask and listen. Some folks aren't listening. They're too busy thinking what story they're going to tell, which is so irritating. Isn't that true, Mello? Doesn't it seem like people, if you're listening to get an opening for the next thing you want to say, that's not really listening.
No, that's not. You've got to listen to understand, not listen to respond.
Yeah. So, and I've actually found myself doing that occasionally. I try not to do that, but occasionally I'll be sitting listening to someone and I'm waiting for, you know, to remind me, oh, I want to tell this story. It'll remind me. And at that point, from as soon as it prompts me that I want to tell my story, I kind of stop listening to what they're saying and wait for them to finish.
Yeah. And also when you're on the radio and you're doing what you're doing, sometimes you have to kind of think ahead because you have to be prepared for what you are going to say after. So it's kind of probably because you work here.
By the way, Roy says, I drink the Utter Cola.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So, we've got about 5 minutes left. I did want to talk about Kamala Harris a little bit and why I have a real problem with this. Now, she comes, to me, the number one, and she's trying to make it the number one issue, and I'm happy for that because, to me, it's a clear definition of what she's all about, and it's the abortion issue. She believes abortion should be legal right up until, right, and sometimes after the child is born, depending on what it's all about. Mm. It hurts my heart to think about abortion. It really does. And I had someone who, a former friend, I don't know if former friend is right, because that implies we're not friends anymore, but someone that I knew before and they've moved away. Mm-hmm. So, but they wrote, they railed, they got on Facebook and they railed and they said, well, you people that are anti-abortion don't understand. She says, I'm a woman. I've had miscarriages. So you're calling me a murderer? She says, you've got to understand that our very religion that we live in and our very country that we live in is based on freedom. And you're telling me I can't have an abortion with my body. And so that's very anti-religion and anti-America for you to say that. Hmm. And I was like, what are you talking about? What you're doing is not your body. There's another human being that has been created inside of you. And for you to be so arrogant to believe that it's my body, I can kill this child. It's my body, it's my freedom, I can do this. That's like saying it's okay for me, I don't like somebody, I can go shoot them in the head. I can walk out there on St. George Boulevard. I don't like that person. I can go shoot them in the head. To me, that's what she's saying. She said, it's freedom. It should be free in America to have an abortion. And in fact, everything should be free. And I'm just like, oh, so murder should be okay? We should be okay to murder? That's fine?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
It's okay to steal from other people? Well, that, according to Kamala Harris, that actually is okay. She was the one raising money for all the rioters in Minnesota after the whole George Floyd incident. She actually put together a fund and raised millions of dollars to help get those people out of jail. The people who were rioting and looting and violently hurting other people.
No. I did see a video recently of babies in the womb, like with the ultrasounds that they can do now. And the baby was actually like dancing around and playing like inside the womb. Like they are learning how to use their bodies.
They're human beings.
Inside the womb. Yeah. Like they're not able to do it without the mother. That's true. So there is like a line there, yeah. Right, that they're drawing, like saying, well, without me, they're not alive. So it's my choice. So, you know, that's where they're.
But you could make the same case for a 2-year-old. How long would a 2-year-old last in this world without mom?
That's true. That's valid.
Walk out into the street, you know, walk into a lion's enclosure. To me, it's such a hollow and horrible argument. And for this person to say, well, it's anti-religion, it's anti-American to say that I can't do this to my body. Well, you're completely wrong, because having rules, having laws is very American. Mm-hmm. If you could say it's all about freedom, then there should be no speed limit. There should be no laws against murder or theft or whatever. That's what she's implying. And that's anarchy. And that will never work.
Yeah. Have you watched those Mad Max shows?
I saw the very first Mad Max first couple, Beyond Thunderdome, I think. Yeah. You're talking about
Watched the Furioso one.
Okay, the new one. Yeah.
The new one, it was on HBO Max. And it's terrifying to think what could happen to society if everyone's able to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
There's no limit to the brutality that they could do and what they could take and how they keep all of the resources for themselves and fight for everything that they think you don't deserve. It's just like we do need the rules.
Yeah.
In our society.
The death of civility. Freedom is great, but even God had laws and rules. You heard of the Ten Commandments, y'all? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too. And right up there in the Ten Commandments, I think it's number, I want to say 4, 5. Thou shalt not kill, anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's on there.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny. I used to teach my little primary kids the Ten Commandments and how to remember them all. I had a little secret to it. And then here I am on the spot, on the radio, and I forgot.
Well, you were using your finger to count down the row, so that was good.
1, 2, 3. Anyway, thou shalt not kill. And that includes babies. Mello, thanks for coming on today. It's been great to talk to you. I'll be back on Monday. Got some cool guests scheduled for next week. Please join me then.